Hi, I'm Robert Wall, and you are listening to Spoiler Country.
Hey, hey, people of Earth, it's time to enter the Spoilerverse via our secret portal at the exclusive Arctic Club in beautiful downtown Seattle with our hosts, John and Kenrick. Welcome to Spoiler Country.
Hey, if you're listening to our show for the first time and you're on one of the social medias that we're on, like Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any of those kinds of things, you should always check us out on Spoilerverse.com. But if you want to keep up with our latest episodes, you should bring out your smartphone, get into your favorite podcatcher, find Spoiler Country, and hit subscribe. Then you'll get all our new stuff.
And if you want to reach out to us, you can do that in two ways. You can call us, leave us a voicemail at 707-656-2080. Again, 707-656-2080. Or you can shoot us an email at spoilercountry@gmail.com.
All right, folks, today we're going old school. I'm Ken Cregan. That's Johnny over there. And you're listening to Spoiler Country.
That's old school, man.
are we on?
You're harking back 3 years ago, man. On our non-exciting monotone intros there.
I'm telling you, man. Wanted to go old school in this one because
it's early and you don't want to wake anybody up.
Well, there's that too, but it's just kind of funny because I was thinking about it last night. We're very boisterous because we have a lot of fun on the show.
Yeah,
and you know, when you start off with a lot of energy, then it brings the energy up, you know? And I was just thinking last night, it'd be funny if you and I talked today and I just kind of like go total monotone. You'd be like, wait, what the fuck? Because then you'd be like, well, I could have done this.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't expecting it, to be honest. That's for sure.
No, seriously, guys. Welcome back to Spoiler Country. There you go. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. We both got lucky this year and bought houses. I mean, you kind of went a weird way because you bought a house. It feels like you bought a house 6 months ago, moved in, and 2 months later said, I hate this place. I'm buying a different house.
It was 18 months. There's 18 months in between. But
was
yeah,
it 18 I mean, it
was,
months?
Pretty
was it
quick
a year
turn
and
buying
a
house.
Yeah, it really seemed really fast.
It did seem fast, and the house was not that old house.
Kaylee hated that house as soon as you guys moved in, basically.
Yeah, because as soon as we got into it, we realized that it wasn't big enough for us and the kids. You know, we had kids sharing rooms, and
oh no,
it was not good.
Oh my god, that's so funny! I shared a room forever until people moved out of our house growing up.
I didn't share a room. I had two rooms growing up, man. I had two rooms and a garage to play in.
Well, listen awesome. To you. You've been one percenter your whole life. Listen to this guy.
Right? One percenter in my double wide trailer. Sub one percenter.
But you got a new house. I got a new house.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. You know, what's funny is that for people who don't know, we're in the Seattle area and the housing market here is weird because one, it's way too expensive. You're not getting the house that you feel like you should be getting for the prices that you pay. I moved way outside of the Seattle area because I just didn't want to pay exorbitant prices, you know? And I was looking, have you looked at your home value since you've purchased?
I have, yeah. Yeah.
Has it gone up?
I just did.
Has it gone up a bit?
It's gone up quite a bit, yeah.
Dude, mine went up over $100,000.
Yeah,
and it's the only 2 months I've been here.
Your house for 3 months, 2 months.
It doesn't make any sense. It's like what? Yeah, I don't get home. I just don't get it. I think it's just the fact that there's been a lot of purchases in this area, and I get they must be going up and up and up. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, it's the Seattle market's crazy. It's like it just goes up, and I mean, I keep thinking there's going to be a burst every time.
It's gotta be a burst.
Is. The houses just go up in value, and it's like more and more expensive to buy a house around here. And it's like, I feel like if you don't get a house now, you're not going to be able to afford one in 2 years because they're just going to be insanely expensive.
Oh, dude, I blame it on the big tech companies in this area because we have Amazon and Microsoft and Google has a big presence here now. And Facebook has purchased a huge plot down by Microsoft where they're building like 6 or 7 buildings or something like that. It's the latest. I know they purchased this thing, this huge lot. The rumor is 6 to 7 buildings, but it could be less. I'm not too sure. And then,
yeah, the tech industry makes it hard here because it's nice because it's jobs, but
well, some people so just making way too much money. It's like, God damn, they go in and they're just like, well, and what happens is they put an escalator clause. Well, we'll just pay, you know, 5% more than whatever your last bid is. And so it just drives the price up, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we're going to, and the thing is they sell stock and they'll have cash. So they don't have to worry about a bank saying no based off of home value of whatever, who does the inspection, right?
Right.
So they come in and they want to buy a house for $500,000. They got $800,000 in cash because they sold a bunch of their stock. And then they'll go, okay, well, we'll just go 5% over up until like 750 or whatever, you know, whatever their bare their limit is. But it's way above what somebody who's going through like an FHA loan can do. So it's,
yeah, it's
crazy.
Crazy.
Because we got lucky on the house that we got because the lady just, you know, I don't know how many offers she got, but she wanted to sell to us. So we just gave her full asking price, but she was like, boom, done.
That's yeah, great. We did full asking price for ours too, because we don't want to lose it.
Yeah, but the thing is you don't know. You could do, that's the thing with the Seattle market. You could say full asking price, but if somebody comes in that wants it, like, you know, and they put an escalator clause, and they'll say, hey, well, we'll give you 5% more, or whatever the last offer is.
Yeah, yeah. We had to contingency on ours too, because we had to, you know, say, yeah, we'll buy your house for full asking price, but we've got to
sell our house
first.
Yeah.
And that was, and they had just gone through one of those and it fell through. So they were very
hesitant,
apprehensive about taking another contingency offer. But
yeah,
they sent them over, here's our house, here's what houses in our neighborhood are selling for. And they, you know, accepted it. And then we ended up selling our house in like 3 days, which was awesome.
Right.
And then got into this one.
Crazy times, man. Crazy, crazy times.
It is. I mean, we both bought houses and moved in the middle of a pandemic, which seems like a really bad idea, but a lot of people are doing it too.
Yeah. Well, shit, man. I was sharing a tiny, tiny house with my nephew, you know, and I'm almost 50. He's in his 20s.
Yeah.
Let's just say we have two different perspectives. I fully feel your pain
on that house. I lived in that house for a year with all the kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tiny.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. It's just a crazy time.
Dude, things are getting better. You know, I mean, we have our houses now. We're have places to stretch and breathe. That the podcast is doing amazingly well.
Which is nuts.
Life seems to be getting better. The pandemic's still going, but there's a vaccination going on, you know, coming out now, and people in the family are getting it, which is amazing.
Yep.
And you know, things are looking up. I mean, things aren't great, but things are looking up.
Things are starting to turn around. Can you believe it's been almost a month since Christmas already?
That's crazy. But yeah, I mean. But also, Christmas feels so long ago, too, because everything in this last year feels like every day feels long.
To me, it felt like it was just a week ago. I don't know what you're saying, but to me, it was like, what the fudge? It's going so fast.
Yeah.
Looking back now, it's been a month. Is there a toy or something you got at Christmas that you're like, okay, that's the coolest thing I got?
Not really. I didn't really get a lot of stuff for Christmas. I don't ask for stuff for Christmas. I don't really care. I prefer to get
people things. I'm the same way. I don't ask for things, but I get them.
I got some interesting stuff from Kaylee. She got me some throwing knives, which is kind of cool.
She got you throwing knives?
She got me some like just outdoor accessory stuff because we're doing lots of outdoors, which is fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, not really. I don't really. To me, Christmas is more about giving stuff to the kids and the family and making sure that Kaylee's happy. I bought Kaylee a shit ton of stuff for her Jeep this year. That's not
my question, though, dude. I understand that. I'm the same way. But you do get stuff. You get stuff every year, whether you ask for it or not. And I'm just curious, is there one thing that you got that you're like, oh, that was really cool, that when I opened it, maybe you're like, oh, that's cool. But, you know, but now that's been a month, you're like, I play with it all the time. Or maybe there's nothing. Maybe you're like, yeah, everything was cool, but there's nothing that just kind of stood out that I play with almost every day.
Well, nothing I play with, but I can tell you the coolest gift that I got. I know it was the coolest, but the most heartwarming gift that I got. My nephew, JT, he's 24 now. So I have a cat. I had a cat, Spike. I got him in like 2002. He's a black cat. He was the coolest cat in the world. When I moved out, my mom wouldn't let me take him with me because she liked him. She says because she paid a vet bill, but she liked having him at the house. So she kept my cat, and I'd go over and visit him all the time. And he was my cat forever. And well, he had to be put down.
Yeah.
In November. So he was 18, he was almost 19 years old, and he had to be put down. And then so for Christmas, JT gave me he had a picture of Spike, and I had it framed up in this nice frame and gave me a, you know, framed picture of Spike for about like a week before he had to be put down. So that was a touching gift.
Oh, that's nice. See, that's cool. That's cool. Mine was mine's not touching by any stretch of the imagination. It's kind of funny. I don't ever ask for anything, and I'm the same way. Like, I could care less if I got anything, you know? Spending time with the family is what it is, just like you were saying, you know? That's why Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, because it's nothing to do with gifts.
Right.
You know, it's literally just coming together and eating food, and I love that. But I got this ball. It's got two propellers on it, right? And you turn it on, and it goes up in the air, but then it has a sensor underneath, a light sensor underneath it. And so as it floats up in the air, it comes back down. But when you put your hand underneath it, you cover that sensor. You don't have to touch it. You just cover that sensor, and it goes back up. And so you can literally just sit there and have this ball floating in your hand.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, with the thing. And it's a ton of fun. And I don't know, but I literally play with it almost every single day. And
that's cool.
I that plug it fun. In, you know, and it was like a $4 thing.
Yeah.
You know? And I got I got this controller, the Razer Kishi, and you put your phone into it, and it connects through USB-C, and it makes it look like the original, to me, it makes it look like the original Sony handheld that they have in the early 2000s.
Yeah, the PSP.
Yeah, that's what it was, PSP. And I really, really wanted that. Right. And I bought one for Tafine, which is hilarious because then she bought one for me.
Nice.
Because we both play Fallout 76 and you can play that on your phone, right?
Yeah,
through the cloud. So we're like, I've used it like 2-3 times and I haven't played with it since.
That's funny.
So the one thing that I really wanted, I don't play with very much. And then the stupid little ball that floats up and down, I play with constantly.
That's right. Actually, you know what? One thing I got, not for Christmas, but you know, Sumner, our buddy Sumner, just sent us a gift box of stuff of Titan.
Yeah.
And it was My Hero Academia toys, which my daughter and I watch all the time, my son. And she gave me one of the characters, Bakugo, and I have it on my desk, and he has a little spiky hair, and I'm always playing with this, always like poking his hair and moving his arms around. So I play with that thing all the time, which is this little Bakugo toy from My Hero Academia. But it's a funny story. You know how we talked about Christmas before, and I always talk about how my sister always buys me these like Barnes & Noble big like coffee table books of like Batman or Superman or Spider-Man or something like that.
Yeah.
Every year. Well, this year she couldn't get out to obviously because, you know, everything's on fire.
Yeah.
Amazon's closed. I was all online and she ordered a book, a Batman book for me.
Cool.
Except for it's like normally they're like, you know, these big coffee table books. This one is Villains of Gotham City, and it's literally like 2 inches by 1 inch in size.
Whoa.
It is a tiny little hardback book in a slipcase. It looks like a nice fancy book, but it's just a super tiny little book. It has a dust jacket, and then you open it up, and it's like 100 pages, and it's like a full-on book of talking about all the villains of Batman, but it's like they're like smaller than a post-it note, the book. It's so tiny, and it's hilarious because, you know, every year I get these giant books from her, and this year she's like, yep, this one came in, and it's really tiny.
That's hilarious.
That was not on purpose.
Dude, have you ever done gift wrapped on Amazon?
I have, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see gift wrapping available this year. I saw like they said gift wrapped available, but it would be in a bag, like a gift bag.
Yeah, it's all bags now. All of it's bags now.
Yeah,
I'm they don't actually wrap anything anymore.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
I don't want that. I want to pay for wrapping.
Yeah. It comes in a bag with the little tie on the top of it, and it's like whatever.
Yeah, that's lame. That's a cop out.
It is lame.
And they charge you the same.
Yeah, it's faster and cheaper for them. They're going to make that dollar.
Well, I'm not going to do it anymore. I did it 1 year. I used it all for almost a bunch of stuff, you know, and it was awesome. It saved me so much time.
Right.
You know? So I was like, oh, this is great. And then this year I was excited because there was like a couple things I wanted to do, especially for ones that should be from quote unquote Santa Claus, you know,
right?
Because then it's like different wrapping paper than what you have. So everything's different about it. And then it was like, oh, would you gift bags? F off. Gift bags, right. Get out of here.
Right.
Just, and then charge me the same. Then you should half the cost.
Yeah. Cut the cost down and make it better.
Yeah. But no, I'm not never doing that again. I'm like, mm-mm.
Yeah. No, I just wrapped myself.
Yep.
It's too much time.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't take that much time. I just honestly, dude, I just hate wrapping. I hate doing it.
I don't care for it. I mean, it's nothing. It's passive for me, but I don't care. I'll skip
if I'm just sitting around watching TV and I can just sit there and do it, fine, you know. But right. I'm not the best rapper, so it's like
no, I'm not either.
And I don't want to sit there and I don't know. And then having to keep all that crap, you know, right. Put it in bins, stick it in the garage, and have this Christmas bin. Yeah. It's just like Jesus Christ, do we have to have all this shit?
You do. It's American. It's American way, man. You got to have a garage full of shit, otherwise you're not American.
I guess.
I should know. I have a garage full of shit.
Oh, so do I. Actually, it's not as bad. I don't know if you ever came over to the Bothell House, but that garage was stacked from.
Yeah. No, I've seen it a couple times. Or saw it a couple times.
Yeah. And it's just now it's not like that at all. It's, you know.
Good.
We got it pretty much. And the house is almost. It's getting close.
Getting things cleaned up and then doing finding some new project to do and then making it messy again and then trying to clean it up and then doing it again.
Yep.
Like we just shiplapped the wall behind our bed in our bedroom.
Did and you like that?
The wall downstairs.
Do you like the shiplap thing? It's kind of the right now.
It looks nice. Yeah, it's very bougie. It's very very in right now, but it looks nice. I like it.
I blame the
nice accent to the room.
The couple down in Waco, Texas.
Blame them.
Yeah. Do you know that couple on TV that have that? They buy they get houses for people that need to be fixed up.
No,
and then they redo it all. It's like
I'm sure I've seen it, but
Magnolia Designs is the lady's company.
I watch a lot of like house remodel shows sometimes. Going to sense of it because they're just fun to watch.
Yeah. God, what was her name? Her and her husband have this.
Yeah, I think
thing.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, she's the one. Joanna Gaines. That's her name. She's the one that has set a ton of the last 10 years. She's been responsible for a ton of trends in people's houses.
Oh, damn.
And the shiplap thing is definitely because of her. So is the sliding barn door inside of houses. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
So that's a big trend right now. It's all because of her.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And kind of cool too.
It is. I think it's really cool. I mean, the lady has an amazing eye. So she knows what she's doing. Yeah,
it's cool stuff. Yeah. It's not like just lame shit.
No.
I like it because it adds it's a cool accent wall that's like different, you know, right. It's not, I don't know, it's fun. And it wasn't that hard to do. You know, we did it ourselves and there was a couple of cuts that I had to do about 4 or 5 times because, you know, I'm not the best with the angle cuts, but I got it down.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was fun to just, you know, a little project we did in an afternoon to cut it and get it all up there and, you know, then paint it. And
Do you and Kaylee work well together on projects?
Yeah, we do.
Do you?
Yeah, we're fine.
That's good. I'm jealous.
Yeah, no, we do fine because we just get it done, you know.
Yeah.
Right now we're working on. We just cut down a bunch of trees in our forest, and we're expanding. We're expanding our
in our forest
yard out. we have a little forest, we're expanding our yard out because we wanted to. Or our backyard is not that big, but we're making like.
So only like 5 10, acres. 15
feet to it. It's into the forest, and there's a bunch of smaller trees. So we went and cut them all down. We've been cutting those trees up and you know, doing bonfires at night and burning them up.
Yeah.
And it takes like, it's like 4 or 5 hours of burning, and then we have to, you know, put it out and stuff. And we've been doing that, and that's been fun. It's kind of funny, though, because I was out there
Your neighbors must love you for all that burning.
What's that?
Your neighbors must love you for all that burning.
Yeah, I don't fucking care. They can go, like, whatever. They're around our fence, and I'm sorry they built a neighborhood around our property. That's not my fault or my problem, and I'm sorry they have rules they have to live by, and I don't because I'm not in their HOA because we're not part of it. But you know, we're not breaking the law.
So people understand.
But
Johnny bought a house, and if you look at the satellite imagery, it is so funny because he literally has houses lined up all around the perimeter of his property, and it looks like it legit looks like you own the castle, and they're all like the peasants around your house, around your castle.
You say that, but we got a letter when we first moved in from some asshole who called us like the castle people and told us we were fucking dickwads and our dogs were barking outside at 10 in the morning.
It was so wonderful. Saturday. It was so funny.
But that was... Did you write that note, Kenrick? Were you fucking with me?
Oh, yeah, man. That was all me. And the best is he gave you that aerial shot. And it was just, and then didn't he like circle your house or something? And then
He did. But it was, yeah, whatever.
So all I can think of
for like 2 hours because we're having our vents clean.
Yeah.
And the dogs were biting the hoses for the fence. And the guy's like, yeah, if your dog breaks this, it's going to blow his head up. So you should probably get him off. And we had to tie him up to a tree outside.
Yeah.
For 2 hours, from 10 to noon on a Saturday.
Yeah, sometimes people like, just freak out. They don't.
Come on.
It's one thing if it's every Saturday for like 6 months straight.
Yeah.
You know, then I can, hey, man, can you like give me a Saturday to relax without having to hear your freaking dog bark? I can get that. But at the same time, one Saturday, come on. calm down.
Well, it was like we'd only been here for like 2 weeks as well. We had just moved in. We were going through the process of getting things clean and vents clean and looked at.
I don't know why that's so funny.
It's like, fuck off, man. Fuck off. So anyways, we're pushing our forest back because what we're going to do is we're going to clean up the forest and take out a lot of the brush out and all the small little trees and leave the big trees. And then we're going to end up building a gazebo with a fire pit in it in the middle of the forest because it's a big open area.
Yeah.
So we can have like a hangout spot in the forest. So we're pushing the trees back. And we got to cut them all up. And so Kyle and Cameron came over one day with their chainsaw and they just cut down a bunch of trees for us.
Yeah.
And then they left one of the chainsaws we used to cut stuff up with. And we've been doing that. Well, this other day I was out there with three of my kids and I'm like, all right, you guys, you're responsible just to grab the brush and put it in a pile and I'll take it and I'll burn it in a file, in the fire. And it was like pulling teeth because they get distracted. They just stop so much. And then Kaylee comes out after work and starts helping. And then all of a sudden it's like the productivity level just skyrocketed us getting stuff done. We got through so much of the trees when she got out there because, you know, she wasn't a kid who just stopped every 30 seconds, had to get yelled at to keep going.
Yeah. That's
funny. But I'm like, I look back and I'm like, man, if I would have done that shit to my dad, if I would have just stopped and not, and I would have gotten my ass beat as a kid.
Yeah. You can't beat him anymore.
No. I remember growing up, if we're outside doing yard work with my dad, which wasn't very often because my dad hated yard work, but if I was supposed to be doing yard work, probably not with my dad, and I just didn't do it, I would have gotten so much trouble. Like, it's crazy.
My dad told me on April Fool's that there was a puppy in the wood pile, and I'll find it if I move the wood from there to there. And I was like six, so I frantically started tossing wood everywhere looking for this puppy.
Yeah.
Until he finally came outside laughing at me because it was April Fool's.
That's sad and funny. My dad, growing up, we didn't take care of our yard very well growing up because my dad didn't like to, I think my dad mowed the lawn three times in the 20 some years he was there. And evidence was like me and I was too young to begin with. So our yard was always overgrown. And so my parents were like, in the summertime, like would bring over like our cousins. I'm like, all right, guys, let's get the yard done. You guys work on it. We'll take you out to ice cream or dinner afterward or something, you know? And I remember one time I was probably about 6 or 7 years old. And my dad was like, as soon as we can see that wood pile, we'll get ice cream. So I stood back and I laid down there and I just took the clippers and like clipped a path to the wood pile. I was like, all right, dad, you can see, let's go. He's like, what? I'm like, you didn't say we had to clear it. You said, if you can see the wood pile and you can see it, let's go.
Yeah.
And to my dad's credit, we went and got ice cream and then we had to come back and finish. But it was just funny. Cause I was like, no, you can see it. I did what you asked. Give me my reward. Which is funny. Cause I think it's hilarious, but when my kids try to pull that shit on me, I'm like, no, fuck you. Go finish your shit.
Yep. Cause I would have been like, you got the spirit, but not the intent. Let's do this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't say fuck you to my kids, but in spirit I do.
Oh my God. Hey, you've been watching WandaVision?
I've watched the first two episodes. I'm going to watch the third. I was going to watch the third one today before we talked, but I was like, I started watching. I was like, man, I'm watching this with Kaylee and I really don't want to, I feel guilty if I'm watching a show with her and I watch it without her
because she watches shows together. Without you. Because so that's
I paused what, it. That's I'm what watch, I I'll watch it today with her. Probably after we stop talking, I'll go watch it with her right now.
Yeah. But then she'll watch whatever show she wants when you're not around.
Not if we're watching it together. If it's one we're like watching together, she won't watch without me.
Yeah. Yeah. Then she lies to you.
Probably, but I mean it's a little white lie that doesn't hurt nobody unless you tell me, so don't ruin it, don't ruin the magic.
Oh man, she's already watched it. She texted me, said, oh man, WandaVision 3 so good.
That's a lie. She doesn't text you.
Never, bitch.
You're the uncle, you should be texting her.
No, actually it'd be the other way around. She's my niece, she should be texting me.
No. You're the adult.
Older one. No one ever goes, oh, you should call your niece. No, they say you should call your uncle, or you should call your mom, or you should call your dad. They don't ever say the other way around. Don't be trying to pull that shit.
No. To maintain relationship with their parent, who's the adult, who's the parent should be maintaining that relationship, not the kid.
I'm just talking shit. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm just saying you're going down a path here of incorrectness.
I'm not going down a path of incorrectness.
Yeah.
No.
You're saying the kid's responsible for talking, for keeping the line of communication open or keeping the relationship open with the
adult. I'm not saying anything like that. Older. You're like reading into something, me joking around.
Yeah, I know. That's what I do. Got to make sure it's correct.
Don't make it uncomfortable. There's no correctness to be made. None whatsoever.
As long as we agree that I'm correct, we're fine.
That'll never happen. Because you know why, dude? Because so long ago you told me you don't care if you're right or wrong. You just want to win the argument. So now it's like, well, then I don't care if you're arguing.
That's not actually true, though. I just said that.
No, to you off. Said it. Did you say it? Yeah, you said it. So it's out there now.
It's out there. And that's fine. It can be out there.
Oh.
But context is key.
Context is key. That is true. That is so true. What do you think context of the first two episodes?
So many things. Oh, the first ones are great. I liked them. They're definitely building block episodes. It's building this world that you don't know what's going on in, and I like that about it.
I have an idea of what I think is going on.
Yeah, I have an idea too, but I want to wait until I watch episode three.
Well, episode three gives you hints of things. There's definitely some more things are starting to form.
Right. Episode two gives you hints too at the end, very end. But yeah, I'm sure three gives
what
you more.
What do you think's happening?
Oh, we're doing this now?
Well, just we'll have another conversation about episode three, but I mean, I'm just curious.
I think it's Wanda creating a world to live in, and she's. I think there's some other force trapped assisting with this, but I think a lot of it is that Wanda is controlling a lot of this, and she's mourning the loss of Vision. She's recreated this. She's recreated him.
That's what
out of reality.
That's what I think too.
Because she can control reality, and they're in the comics at least, and they're bringing that into the movies, and
that's what I think.
She's a lot more powerful than anybody thinks.
Yeah, she's of all the characters they've introduced so far in the MCU, she's the most powerful.
Yeah,
and I think she's way more powerful than Thanos.
Yeah,
because she don't need a reality stone to control reality. She is
reality stone. Yeah,
you know, she's more powerful than Doctor Strange. Even in the comics and everything, because Doctor Strange relies on, because for her, it's her. You know what I mean? She's not relying on outside forces to manipulate the things that she does. She can do, she just does. And so it's just her. Yeah, it's just her. So it's interesting to see how they're going to bring this in, because as soon as they can, like, I feel the same way, right? As soon as they confirm that she's manipulating reality of this, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Because she could literally bring back Vision if she wants to.
Right, right. Well, I mean, and she, as you, in this episode two, she makes herself pregnant, right?
Yeah.
And in the comics, she makes herself, in the Vision's comic, which is partially, this is based off of that, but it's also based off the old Vision and Scarlet Witch comics and new stuff too. But, she basically makes herself pregnant with Vision's baby, which is impossible because he's a robot, but she's fucking Scarlet Witch. She can do whatever she wants.
Right.
Pretty much.
Well, he's not just a robot though.
Well, I mean, he's not a human.
No, not a human. But he's not just a robot.
But we can't.
What would you classify him as? Is he an android? Is he just a robot? I mean, I don't know. Actually, now you think about it, because like the Soul Stone, well, it is the gem in his head, and the original thing. That's not a part of the Infinity Stones at first, right? Is that just part of the MCU that did that?
No, that was later. That was because Vision started off in Avengers 53, I think it was, or 54.
Right.
And that was way before the Infinity Saga.
Right.
In the 60s.
Right. The Infinity Saga was the early 90s. So, but I'm just saying, even in the early, but in the comic books, did they have his stone in his head be an Infinity Stone?
I have no idea. I don't know either. I think that was new to the movies.
Yeah, I think that was new to the movies.
I'm not sure.
Interesting. It's an interesting thing. I think they did a good job in the MCU.
Yeah. They changed a lot of stuff, but I mean, I think it was good for the movie world to change for those things. I mean,
the Infinity Saga
was obviously different, but it was good.
Yeah, but they change a lot of stuff in the comic books all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, meh.
And now before anybody out there, Robert, says anything about things being changed and being good, there's a big difference between changing a storyline and keeping the spirit of the storyline there versus changing a storyline and ignoring everything that makes that character in a storyline good. So there's a huge difference there.
Right.
So I can just hear someone, but Snyder didn't. No, fuck him. He fucked everything up. Like, I don't care anymore. I'm happy that people who love it get to see the Snyder Cut, and I'll watch the Snyder Cut and hope maybe to be good.
Are you excited for the Snyder Cut?
Excited for it? No. No, I'm not.
Right.
I'll watch it because it's more Superman and more Batman and more DC characters.
Well, I mean, excited doesn't have to mean happy excitement, but you could be excited to see it in a way of like you're morbidly curious of how they're going to fuck this up
I'm curious about where this is going to go and like what magical thing Snyder's going to do to fix these characters that he bastardized horribly. But like the point is like, did they change Captain America and Iron Man in the movies? Yes. But did they lose the spirit of what those characters were? No. Did they change Superman and Batman in the movies? Yes. Did they lose the spirit of who those characters were? Also, yes.
Did they change Spider-Man? They didn't change him that much.
They changed Spider-Man a lot. I mean, they modernized him a lot from the 60s one.
You have to modernize some to make it relatable.
I like how they have Spider-Man in the MCU. He's different, but I like it.
Yeah. I don't know. What's different about him?
I don't like how tech his suit is, though.
Oh. Well, yeah, that's because, yeah.
I mean, I don't like everybody having an Iron Man suit, you know?
Right.
I just mean everybody's Iron Man. Like, he's basically just Iron Man with spider powers, you know? It's like, no, it's I like it more when he's just Spider-Man, you know?
Do you think the Black Widow, they're already talking about a sequel to the movie?
It hasn't been released yet.
Right. But they're anticipating that they want to get it released so that they can greenlight the second one.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have, the lady that plays her sister take over the role as Black Widow.
Okay.
And I guess they did that in the comic book as well. I don't know Black Widow very well, except for really, I knew her as a character from, you know, guest starring, I guess you could say, in other comic books, you know?
Well, I knew her from the Daredevil run. She was in Daredevil for a while.
Yeah, but I didn't know her very well. I knew of her, you know, I've read books with her in it, but I didn't know the character until the MCU. And I think Scarlett Johansson did an amazing job being the Black Widow. And it's hard for me to think of anybody else playing that role now.
Yeah, me too. She embodies it so well.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to see this movie. It just pisses me off the way they killed her. It pisses me off the way that she's dead. And then the fact that Gamora gets to come back, but she doesn't, which doesn't make any sense. Well,
it doesn't make any sense because if you think about the way Endgame ends with Cap going back to put all the stones back at the time before they were taken, she wouldn't be dead anymore. Because if he puts the Soul Stone back before it was taken, that's before she died.
Right, unless the Soul Stone isn't confined by Paradox.
Possibly, but I mean, because they have to define that. But by their own definition of the movie, I mean, unless I miss something, taking it back to before it was taken so the timeline does not get interrupted would mean that it would be, otherwise, she's just jumping off a cliff and dying for no reason.
Right, but Gamora is not the same Gamora that died.
No, it's a different Gamora. A different timeline Gamora.
Yeah, and so part of me is like, well, then they could do that with the Black Widow.
They could.
You know, and I don't understand.
They could answer the question of when Kat put that stone back, did she not die?
Yeah. Well, and you can clear that up by saying the Soul Stone's doesn't rely on Paradox. She died because she died, and that's it. And she's not coming back,
but
even if you put the stone back.
It's something they should clarify, though, because it's a big open hole question.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, though, is I was upset at the end of Endgame, and they had this huge funeral for Tony. And nothing for her.
Yeah, that kind of pissed me off too.
It really bothered me. It was like, this doesn't make, because it should have been a dual funeral then.
Yeah, because they both die in this fight.
Yeah, man.
How are they going to sacrifice themselves?
How are they going to deal with Black Panther, man? Chadwick Boseman, it hurt my heart.
Yeah. Well, they're not replacing him in two. I don't think they're doing a new Black Panther actor in that role.
Nope, they're not.
I think what they're doing is they're going to make Suri Black Panther.
But she was only Black Panther for a limited time, right?
Yeah, but I mean, they can still do it, you know?
Oh, no, they can definitely do it. I'm not opposed to it. I think it's going to be rad. Don't get me wrong. I'm just asking a question. She was only Black Panther for a limited time, and I wonder if they're going to maintain that or she's going to be the Black Panther here on out.
I mean, unless they recast him down the road, recast T'Challa down the road. Or make a full reboot. Black Panther, but I mean, why not make it her? Why not? I mean, let her be the Black Panther in the MCU since... I mean, unfortunately, Chadwick Boseman's not here anymore, and he was amazing in that role, but let Suri take it over and, you know, kind of do something new in the MCU. It'd be kind of fun.
I didn't read it. Did you read any of those with her as the Black Panther?
I read one or two of them. They're fine.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I'm not a big Black Panther fan of the comics. Like, I didn't really care about him. It's just like Captain America. I didn't give two shits about or Thor. I didn't care about those characters in the comics, and I still really don't.
In the comics,
I've read some newer ones that are pretty good.
Yeah.
But growing up and throughout until the movies, I really thought those characters were lame as hell.
Yeah.
MCU characters versions of them are amazing. I love them. Like Cap and Thor are some of my favorite characters in movies because they're just amazingly well done.
Yeah.
And Black Panther was amazingly well done as well. And I've read some comics since then that are pretty good. I just never cared about them in the comics beforehand.
You thought Thor was lame?
Dude, I thought Thor was the lamest character in the world.
So how much did you laugh at Adventures in Babysitting when he teases his sister about Thor?
Yeah, that was funny. And that was funny. I just thought Thor was the dumbest guy in the world.
Oh, that's not funny. Cap, I loved.
I had this stick at my ass where I'm like, Cap, Like, it's just, they're just trying to make Superman, but different. And there's nothing like Superman, but you know, it's in my mind, it's like,
it's a lot different
color scheme. And being a kid, I'm like, I mean, a kid who's super into DC and not Marvel. Right. I was like, you know, finding ways to make them fight in my head, you know.
That'd be an interesting thing. Compare and contrast Captain America with Superman.
They're very different.
They're very similar, but they're very different.
Yeah, they have similarities in like their morals and like what they stand for, and their vigilance to keep fighting for humanity. But like their origins are different, their power sets are different, the way in which they tackle things are different, you know?
Yeah, that's the on the surface, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting too. It's like, in what era do you compare and contrast? Because I feel like if you do the Golden Age, they're more similar.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, in the Golden Age, everybody was trying to make a Superman character. Everybody.
Yeah. Well, they're like both very pro-American.
Captain Marvel was created for that. I mean, everybody wanted a Superman character.
Who was first, Superman or Shazam?
Who was first?
Mm-hmm.
Superman. Superman was the first comic book superhero.
Was he?
Yes. the only character like that had powers that predate Superman as a shadow.
You're like, how could you even ask that?
Well, I am a little curious about how you can even ask that. Like, Superman's worth so much money because he's the first. Like, he's the original. Oh, he's the original superhero.
Oh, I thought it was the Phantom.
Like, so the Phantom doesn't count as a superhero. He's a pulp hero. Like, is it like the Shadow and the Phantom are pulp heroes? And yeah. I know it's a fine line, but they're not
the
superheroes.
The Guinness Book of World Records recognizes the Phantom as the first superhero.
The Phantom was out years before Superman, but it's not the same thing. It was never considered the same thing.
Well, the Guinness Book of World Records disagrees. Created by Lee Falk, the first superhero was the Phantom, who debuted in his own newspaper comic strip on 17th of February, 1936. He recounted the adventures of Kit Walker, who donned a mask and purple outfit to become the Phantom, a.k.a. the Ghost Who Walks. That's according to the Guinness Book of World Records.
Newspaper comics, though. But not in comic books. A lot of people don't – I mean, yeah, they consider it now, but like the dawn of the superhero was Superman, not the Phantom.
I don't know. I'm just reading what says.
Everybody tried to mimic Superman once he was out because it was, I mean, insanely popular.
The Phantom gets kind of a bad rap. You don't ever hear about him anymore.
He is super popular overseas, and
there's actually a tribe somewhere.
Yeah, it's crazy. I like the Phantom movie with Billy Zane. I like Billy Zane as an actor, but I like that movie too. I wish they would have made more.
Yeah. Who's your? Who do you think? After Spider-Man, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, and who's the fourth? Those are the big four, right?
Yeah.
I mean, is there any one character that's bigger than those four when it comes to comic books?
No.
That's had the impact that those four have had? Maybe no. Wolverine as a modern day superhero?
I don't think anybody has had or could have the same impact as like Superman, Batman, Spider-Man, Wonder Woman, or like groups like the X-Men. Nobody will ever have the impact of those unless something really strange happens in the world. Nobody's going to create a character that's important as important as those characters. It's that it's the times, right? Superman and Batman are important because they paved the way. Captain America is important because he paved the way
for Captain America. Captain America would be the fifth popular. One.
Spider-Man and X-Men redefined comic books in the 60s. Yeah. They redefined how to tell stories and what stories about comic books could be about. And
I'm not. It's I'm trying you know, to ask you a question.
Of, it's also a matter of right place, right time.
I'm trying to ask you a question. Damn it!
Well, let me finish my fucking thought. Jesus.
But yeah, I was still asking the question, and you.
Let me finish my damn thought. God,
I have to ask you the question to get your thought out.
I did.
Now I'm lost. Damn it! This is all your fault.
Probably
after those, I think Captain America would be a fifth one.
Yeah.
Would it be Captain America?
He holds a lot of importance in history.
Let's put Captain America. So those are the five. After that, who becomes the sixth? Who in your mind for you?
For me personally, or what I think is important to comicdom?
Or maybe it coincides with both, or maybe maybe not, maybe so. Who do you think it is?
I don't know. I mean, if I'm thinking of importance to the medium,
because I feel like once you get past those five, it just explodes. Because you have the Flash, you have to an extent, even Hawkman, right? Kind of an important character, considering just how long he's been around, but maybe not. And then there's Shazam. And then there's, all those, the X-Men and Wolverine. Maybe Wolverine's one that you could say is right up there.
I don't know. I mean, Wolverine's a popular character, but is he important? Did he genre define anything, you know? I mean, he helped bring the anti-hero in, which also brought in characters like Lobo and Deadpool afterwards.
Yeah. So maybe he is.
Wolverine's not really an anti-hero. He's just a hero with an attitude, you know?
Yeah.
The Punisher, maybe. I think the Punisher was the first real anti-hero.
Such a weird name, the anti-hero. Still a hero.
Yeah.
But not a hero.
It's a dumb name. So you're a hero, basically, you're a hero with an attitude.
Yeah.
I don't know, honestly. It's a tough question. I would think characters like Hellboy, possibly, because Hellboy brought in a whole new acceptable genre into comics mainstream. Because while that genre was there, like that horror suspense mystery was there in comics, it wasn't a mainstream world in comics until then. Hellboy blew up on the scene, and now you see a lot more mainstream, you know, indie comics and touching on that vibe of that horror, that mythology, that supernatural-esque element coming into more mainstream stuff. So maybe something like Hellboy, where it brought in a whole new genre into the world of comics, you know?
That's a great choice, though. Hellboy's a great choice because he's kind of like right there underneath. The other one you could say is Sandman.
Yeah, Sandman would also would have, yeah. Well, I mean, actually, that's a good point. You probably wouldn't have things like Hellboy becoming popular without things like Sandman paving the way with bringing in that weirdness.
Yeah, and John, you know? Swamp Thing, Alan Moore's Swamp Thing.
And Swamp Thing, too. Yeah.
That's interesting. You know what's funny is DC sets a lot of trends.
Yep.
You know, which is kind of funny. You think about it. They set a lot of trends. They set up good and they always have good things, but sometimes they don't send a follow through.
Yeah. I think that has to do with top heavy management sometimes.
Yeah.
Where people start doing these. It's getting better, right? The DC comics are kind of, they're kind of let to do their thing in the comic world because the money makers are the movies and the TV shows, which DC needs to get better at those.
Right.
But I don't know if you saw Wonder Woman 84, but it's very problematic.
I did see Wonder Woman 84. I thought it was fun. I mean,
no, it's a very fun, entertaining film until you think about it.
Yeah, I didn't really think about it, though. I just had fun with it, and then like, it was done.
They literally have Steve Trevor possess a dude, fuck Wonder Woman, fuck off his life for the entire film, where he's literally possessed by another dude, and then all of a sudden he's gone, and then Wonder Woman flirts with him. That's fucking weird. She bangs another dude who's possessed by Steve Trevor. That's weird. And the ramifications of that, like, does he have a job? Does he have a family? Does he have friends? Like, what about that guy's life? Did he potentially die for the time Steve Trevor was there? Was he trapped inside the body?
This was my issue all these with questions. The end of Endgame when they had Captain America go back in time and be with what's her name? And I was like, But she had a life. She had a husband. Carter. She had all this. And then you just screwed all of that. Man,
I don't like Captain America's ending in Endgame. I don't like the fact that he gave up.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, people who like it. He didn't give up. He got the ending in the life that he finally wanted and he deserved. Fuck off. That's not Captain America's not going to give up.
Right.
And we don't know if he did. Like, maybe he still fought some stuff and ended that. But
he says, what you deserve, what you get are two different things.
I can do this all day.
Yeah. What you deserve and what you get are two different things.
Right. Captain America is a forever fighter. Like, in my opinion, Captain America would be like,
he's a superhero, not a family man.
Yeah. So I think he'd have a hard time just sitting back and doing nothing through like, so they're basically telling us, like, what gets me, like, they're basically saying that Captain America sat by and let Ultron happen and let Loki happen. It didn't say anything. He didn't try to help at all.
Right.
It's like, no, these things have to happen. I can't intervene.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't think Cap would do that, even if he was old.
Yeah.
You'd still come and be like, no, here
it doesn't
I am.
Make any sense.
So,
yeah, that part doesn't make any sense. But it's funny that you bring up the whole thing with the guy in Wonder Woman 84 because I didn't think about that. Now I do. I'm like, you're right. That is fucked up.
Yeah. It's weird. And like the movie was fun. I enjoyed it. We watched it with my kids. We watched it on New Year's Eve. You know, we had a lot of fun with it. The kids loved it. But the more you think about it, or like The Invisible Jet. I loved The Invisible Jet. It was super cool they had it in the movie.
Yeah.
But the way they made it invisible, like really all of a sudden she can fucking avatar invisible? Come on. Really? She waves her hands and now, it's invisible.
I want to know why that jet had fuel in it.
Yeah. They're just some random new fucking powers where she can make it invisible. Like, that doesn't make any sense. Or, better yet, that plane could not fly to Egypt.
Well, why does the Smithsonian have full fueled jets ready to go?
Right. And even if it did, that plane would have crashed like 1,000, 2,000 miles in the outside of Egypt in the water. It can't fly that far.
Are you sure?
Like that jet.
I don't know anything about it, so I don't know. I haven't looked it up.
They can't. I promise you, they can't. There's a whole like film theory. There's a whole video on it with all the math of all the jet fighters and that they could have picked out and how far they'd fly. And none of them will reach Egypt. None of them.
Right.
Because they're not meant for long term flights.
Yeah, that part you can suspend your disbelief on. But the way she made it invisible,
Yeah.
I don't know how she does it in the comic book. So I'm like, it didn't dawn. I mean, I was watching, I was like, okay, that's kind of hokey, but whatever.
Yeah. But again, I had a lot of fun with it. It was a fun movie. The fight scenes were cool, but like, or the end when she, and it was funny. I was just on a radio show yesterday on Thursday talking about Wonder Woman because they asked me to come on. But it's like at the end of the movie when she, obviously spoilers, when she has her lasso and she's trying to lasso the guy to get for the truth, and she can't break through. And then all of a sudden she just does. And there's like no explanation of how she managed to get through this when she couldn't at all before. And then she's somehow able to use the lasso to speak through the lasso, through him, to the world, to talk about the wishes.
Right.
And it's like, really? And then like...
Did that scene...
Everybody...
You know what that scene reminded me of? Was her doing that whole Imagine video that people just destroyed at the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of.
Pretty much, yeah.
I was like, oh, she's doing Imagine.
Right. Well, like, and then Cheetah rescinds her wish. I'm like, Cheetah would not rescind her wish if that was Cheetah. That is not how Cheetah would react.
She did
like,
rescind her wish?
Fuck you. Yeah.
I didn't think she did.
She did. She at the end, she's standing there and she's leaning up there and she goes, I rescind my wish. And she goes back to being Kristen Wiig, you know, or Barbara.
Well, can we say this though? But Kristen Wiig did an excellent job. I thought.
Oh yeah, Kristen was amazing.
Yeah, I thought she was my favorite part of that whole movie.
Yeah. I mean they played a little too much into the nerdy fumbling person becomes the awesome athletic hot person.
Right.
Like they do in every superhero movie. But I mean, she was great. And I liked her as Cheetah. I wish they would have just kept her as Cheetah. But there's a lot of problems with that film. Like it's like the writers wrote scenes of the movie, but didn't actually write a plot to the movie and connect or anything. Cause I don't know.
Because the first one is so good.
But it's great until you think it's a great movie until you think about it.
All right, folks, come back here for Johnny to ruin more movies next week on Spoiler Country. What radio show are you on?
My buddy at work, his mom hosts a radio show locally in Seattle. No, I've been on it before. Yeah. So she brought me back on. I came on and talked about Infinity War one time, and then she asked me to come back on and talk Wonder Woman. And then she's going to ask me to come back on again and talk she wants to talk Doctor Who or something like that soon.
You're going to talk about Doctor Who?
I'm going to try, yeah.
You don't even like Doctor Who.
I do like Doctor Who.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Then why do I watch it?
Oh, you started watching it now? Because when we talked about it, I was like, I had to come up with a scenario to get you to watch an episode.
That was like 2.5 years ago.
Still.
Liked that episode, and I've been watching it off and on since then. And my daughters watched it. They watched
the new one?
Talk about Jodie leaving. And I was like, okay, I'll talk about that.
Is she leaving the show?
Yeah, yeah. It's time for a new doctor.
It hasn't been 3 years.
Yeah, it has.
No, it hasn't. She has not been on for 3 seasons. Every doctor has been on for at least 3 seasons, except for what's his name? She's been on for 2.
Let's find out.
What's her name? Jodie Sweetin.
She started being Doctor Who in 2017.
Yeah, but they took like a full year off.
You took a full year off. Let's see.
How many seasons has...
The power of the internet and searching faster. let's see. Whatever. Apparently she's leaving at the end of 2021.
Oh, so she's going to do another... Oh, she might... Okay, so they're setting up for her third season then. Because they just ended her second. Okay, so she's leaving at the end of 3. Gotcha.
Yeah. 32 episodes, whatever, so far.
Yeah. Jodie Sweetin is the girl from Full House.
Yeah, no, this is Jodie Whittaker.
Jodie Whittaker. I'm looking up Jodie Sweetin because you said Jodie Sweetin.
Did I say Jodie Sweetin?
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, okay. Oh, whoops. So I'm like, how many seasons has Jodie Sweetin been on Doctor Who? Full None. House comes up. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Okay, that makes hilarious. Sense. So she's leaving at the end of 3.
Yeah.
God.
Apparently. I don't know. I'll be honest, I didn't really what they told me. I don't know.
I liked her as Doctor Who. I didn't like the writing on these seasons.
The writing?
Mm-mm. Like, dude, the Matt Smith writing stuff was amazing.
Matt Smith's great.
What's his name? My favorite Doctor.
David Tennant.
Those writings were amazing.
Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, Peter Capaldi was pretty good. It wasn't as great as Matt Smith, but Peter Capaldi was good. But the Jodie Sweetin one, she was great. But the writing just didn't seem... It's like they're trying too hard to be politically correct, you know?
Yeah.
Just write a good story, you know? Don't force anything. Just write a good story. And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't, you know? And go from there. Just, you know, just open your mind to have new things be in there. you know? But just don't worry about having to have, like, it felt like every group had to be included, you know? The white race,
yeah.
The Indian, black, the old white man. It's just like every single thing had to be included and they had to go through. And it just felt forced as opposed to just naturally writing it, you know?
Right.
Like, I don't care who they could have. Like, I don't think she should have a team of freaking sidekicks. Traditionally, they have one sidekick, you know?
Right.
And it makes the companion. Because then you get a better interpersonal relationship with the two, you know? And I don't know. I think they should have just kept the girl cop. And because out of all of them that was on, she was the only one to me that was interesting. The other ones were kind of boring, you know, and not to be a jerk. It wasn't the actors by any stretch. I just thought they were written boring. But the cop had the most interesting stories to me and had the most interesting dynamic of what the world was going on around her. And so I thought keeping her with Jodie Whittaker as Doctor Who, that would have been a better, more cohesive unit. And then they could have done all the crazy writing that they want to do. And so I don't know. So the whole Jodie Whittaker version of Doctor Who, I haven't been as invested.
Huh. Good to know. Good to know that you hate women.
Yeah, because that's what you got out of that. Thanks, man.
It's good to know you hate diversity, Kenrick. God.
Yes, I hate diversity. Can't stand it.
Oh, man.
I don't know.
Can't do it.
I love Doctor
Who. I don't care. I just want good stories.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah, I just want a good story. I love Doctor Who. I love how they do it. I'll be sad to see her go, though, because the thing is, it all comes down to the showrunner when it comes to Doctor Who. It's not even the players involved as much as the showrunner.
Right. The person who shapes how it goes and shapes the format of, you know, where it's going to head out to.
Shapes the universe.
Dun, dun, dun.
I don't know. I'm excited to see. I didn't know you were watching it.
Yeah, I watch it off and on. I'm not as diehard on it as people. Dude, speaking of shows, not to do a hard left turn, but it's whatever. Have you watched the show Powers?
No.
It was out in like 2015, 2014 on some streaming service based off the comic book Powers by Brian Michael Bendis.
Before you get into that, my last little tidbit, sorry, because I don't want to get off into another tangent and not come back and have to come all the way back around. Now you have, at least you could take my opinion and maybe you can shape it into your own when you go onto your radio show. Have something to talk about.
Yeah, I will.
There you go.
Like, my buddy
hates women, and this is what he said. No.
Hates women, and here's why.
Even though I'm saying the most interesting character is an Indian female cop, but cool.
Right? Look, I'm going to take the pieces out of this conversation that's going to make it sound good, okay?
Okay, so Powers, go.
Yeah, so Powers. So it was a show on – it's based on Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming's comic from indie comic from – that was been on forever and forever, Powers.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it. I've been meaning to watch it forever. I'm like, oh, the comic's pretty cool. And so I'm watching. I've watched the first two episodes, and I can't decide whether I like it, I don't like it, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's just like
– you're indifferent?
Just trying too hard, you know?
Are you indifferent?
I don't know yet. Like, there's parts of it that I like and enjoy, but like the main character is not very likable in the show.
I'm quick to – so I kind of get – studios always like axe and stuff really fast. You know, and I always feel like that's not fair because you're not giving them a chance to get into something, especially when it's good writing and it's a good show. But, you know, you guys have it on some weird time and the audience isn't, you know, you're not connecting with your audience because they don't know it's there.
Right.
Or they do what like Fox did with Firefly because some executive didn't like the show. So they played it out of sync and they played it on different days and everything and they just ruin it. Yeah. But if I'm watching a show and I don't like the main character and I'm indifferent and I don't know, there's too many other stuff out there.
Right. I probably won't watch like it, and it has Eddie Izzard in it too, which is cool. I love Eddie Izzard, but I don't know if I can keep going on the show.
I just don't know if I want to keep going. Is that the one where they like take over somebody's house or is it superheroes?
No, the plot of it is there's superheroes are called powers. They're powered people. And the main character is a guy who used to have powers named Diamond. But he lost his powers. Basically, this guy Wolf took his powers away, and he's a cop now. And he's a cop in the powers division of the police force, and they investigate and arrest people who abuse their powers or whatever. And like, there's this whole plot of like, there's people are dying. This powered guy who can teleport was thought to have been dead, but now he's back and he's a bad guy. But he's faking to be a good guy. And there's a bunch of young powered kids who like they're feeding these drugs to, and like. it's very convoluted and very complex, like complex but not complex plot.
Mm-hmm.
Plot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, I just don't know if I care for it or not. Like, the girl, I don't know if you watched it, but the show Dear White People, the main actress from that is in this show, and she's fantastic. And there's a couple actors who are really great in this show. Like Eddie Izzard is playing Wolf, and he's fucking amazing. But like, so far I haven't been drawn into it yet, as far as like it being interesting to keep me going.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
So I mean, I might give it one more episode and see, but we'll see.
Yeah. Check it out. Let me know what you think. If you're going to continue watching, maybe I'll check it out too.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Is it on Hulu?
Well, man, I think we've come to a conclusion of a randomness episode here.
Well, I just totally asked you a question.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
I'm like, is it on Hulu? And you're like, well, man. I was like, oh, okay. That show, what's it on?
Amazon. It's on Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. Yeah. Let me know. If you continue to watch it, maybe I'll check it out too. I mean, because yeah, you didn't sing a ringing endorsement.
I will watch one more episode. And if I like it, I'll tell you. And if I don't, I'll tell you as well.
All right.
So
there you go. All right. Continue, Johnny.
I was just saying, I think we've come to a roundabout here of a nice random talk with some technical difficulties and with some, apparently me not listening to you.
You never listen to me.
And well, it's because I found that if I don't just keep talking, I don't get to talk.
That's such so bullshit, man. That
is so bullshit. It's very true on an interview episode.
I think you should go back on an interview. Come from the man who says, I don't want to do interviews.
Yeah, because you bully me out of them.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take it. Fuck it.
Yeah, you kind of got to take that one a little bit because you're self-proclaimed as a guy who won't shut up on interviews.
Yeah,
it's
true.
Hard to talk. Hard to talk around you on an interview, which is fine. I'm not like bitching about it, but it legit is hard to talk around with you on an interview with somebody.
Yeah, sometimes I do get that way.
Because if I don't legitimately like interrupt you and tell you to stop talking, it's hard for me to talk in an interview with you because you're very commanding of the interview, which is great. So it's like, that's why usually I just sit back and listen and don't say a lot.
Right.
Until you fake go pee and make me talk.
Well, you get uncomfortable. Well, I don't know if uncomfortable is the right word. Maybe it is the right word.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You get the right word.
You get uncomfortable. So then to get you out of your shell, because sometimes you've been on an interview, you didn't say anything. It's like, well, I want to hear what you have to say.
Well, here's the thing about interviews with me is I love talking to people and having conversations with people. I would have a conversation with any of the people we brought on the show. I hate the expectation of I have to run this interview with questions and I have to peacefully know about this person and know what they're doing, what they want to talk about and know.
You have to move the conversation forward.
I'd rather just talk to people about whatever rather than be like, so when you were writing that issue, what were you thinking about? You know, I'll ask questions that come up in natural form of the conversation, but I just don't like leading it with.
Is it the promotional aspect of it?
Is it what?
The promotional aspect of it?
No, it's just, I just don't like the expectation that I'm supposed to know about them.
That's funny.
You know, I don't know. It's weird. I just don't, I don't mind asking some questions here and there, but I'd much rather just learn who they are as a person and talk to them and have that conversation and let it go where it's going to go, which is fine. But I know with some of the people we talk to, there's definitely a need or a want to have. We have to ask these questions. It's just for me personally, I love listening to it and I love what we do, but for me to do it, it's not exciting.
Well, there you go. There it is. Hey,
now I sound like an asshole because I'm like, oh,
no, not at all. Not at all. The last thing, can we stop with the fucking Bernie Sanders memes?
They're hilarious.
No, it's old now though, man. It's on it's overdone. It's like everywhere.
It'll be done soon. I mean, those things last like a couple of days and then they'll be out.
Oh, God. Can't be fast enough. It's like I used to love listening to Howard Stern every once in a while. But, dude, he'd get on some kind of dumbass joke and then they just would go, they would do the same joke for like 3 hours in a row. And I used to, it drove me nuts. I think I'm done. I literally stopped listening to him because of that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I get it. I get it. Because I hate, so there's a comedy of that works. The repetitive joke is annoying, but there's a cycle, right? It's like the joke's not funny. Okay, now it's annoying. Okay, now it's funny because you keep doing it. Now it's not funny again, so stop doing it.
Right.
You know, it always gets to the point where, okay, it stopped being funny. You can stop doing it now.
And then it's funny all over again.
Yeah.
But it has to be funny in the first place for that to happen. If it's not funny and you keep doing it, it's still not funny.
Well, it's still not. It's not funny, but the fact you keep doing it becomes funny, but then it becomes not funny again because you're annoying.
Right.
You know?
All right.
I don't know.
That's a show.
That's a show.
We'll end it on annoying.
That's what we are. We're annoying today.
That's right.
Yay.
All right, guys. It's been a while since we did a tot. It was a weird tot. And if you enjoyed that and you want to hear more, and if you don't know, tot stands for the tangent of tangents.
This is number 19.
And there you go, number 19, a tangent of tangents. And Johnny and I have always had a tendency when we're just talking, we'll even have like an episode where we have a fine thing that we're talking about, and we'll end up going off on four different things. I mean, just listen to some of our intro outros with interviews. It happens.
Right.
So I think the first episode we did, I think I coined that one saying it's the tangent of tangents. And then Johnny very quickly said it's a tot. So we've always just kept it as a tot. If you want to hear more like this, go to spoilerverse.com, and there's tons. Just, I think you can just do a search for TOT, right?
Yep, search TOT on the website, and you'll find all of them. Yeah. All 19 of them.
And go there. Go to spoilerverse.com, do a search for TOT, and you'll find a bunch of tangent of tangents. They're a lot of fun. You'll be shocked with some of the conversations that we have. And on top of that, if you want to hear some amazing guests, there's so many interviews there, you can't even shake a stick at it. There's just so much. There's like almost 600 episodes for you to peruse,
yeah,
have fun with. And right now, nothing's behind a paywall. And you should check it out.
You should. And you should check out all of our other shows, like Bridging the Geekdoms, Nerd from the Crypt, and Misery Point Radio, and Funny Book Forensics, and Half Eyes Adventures, and White Spirit, all of them. So much fun stuff. And you should go check out articles and reviews and previews and all that cool stuff we have there. And go to our store, buy a t-shirt, a face mask, a hoodie, look fly yourself, help support the site, because we know you want to. And you should also come join and chat with us on Discord at scpod.us/discord, and come hang out with us there, because we'd love to have you.
There you guys go. In oceans of podcasts, we are Cthulhu. As Cthulhu compels you to do, open the mic and read more.